Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Because I believe that in our generation, we make a choice on the type of impact that we want to have. We make a choice of the type of impact that we want to have. We can have a low impact, a very subtle impact. We can have a medium impact, and we can have a high impact. Now, a low impact is one of those insignificant impacts where people don't even probably even know that you're there. And I tell you this, I do not want to have that type of impact. The medium impact, now, a lot of people will settle for a medium impact because there's a lot of people out there having a medium impact. But I tell you, me personally, the impact that I want to have one of those high impacts. I want to have that impact that when people look back on my life, that when they look back on what I did and what I stood for, they say, you know what? That man was a man of God who laid it all down. Not a bit, but all. Absolutely everything. If you want to be someone who has a high impact in your generation, you have to be a person that says, you know what? I am willing to lay it all down. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. So if you got your Bibles with you, please turn to Matthew 19, and we're going to read from 20 to 22. It says, the young man said to him, all these things I've kept from my youth, what do I still lack? Look at your neighbor and say, what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let me just pray right now. Father, I just pray that you would arrest this environment, Lord God, with your spirit right now, Lord God. Father, I pray that you take total control. I pray that by your spirit, Lord God, that you would open every heart and every mind that is listening, Lord God, stir in me and stir in your children as your word is preached this evening, Lord God, and let not one person remain the same after you have spoken in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said? Amen. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. So we're looking at the subject of commitment. Now, I just want to start with two definitions of commitment. I Googled this. So number one is this, a state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity. A state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or an activity. And the second one is an engagement or an obligation that restricts freedom of action. I tell you what, I really like that one. Let me repeat that. An engagement or an obligation that restricts freedom of action. You see, what I like about that is the fact that when you're committed to Christ, it's almost like you're chained. It's almost like you're arrested to a call that is beyond you. You're arrested to something that is other than your personal will. You're now chained and connected to something that has been laid out before you, and you now are having to find in yourself falling in line with something that has already been predestined. You see, when you was in the world, it was different because every day you were shooting towards some sort of an ideal, some sort of an outcome, something that you had already predestined in your mind, where you looked at something from the distance and you said, you know what? I'm going for that. I'm shooting for that. That is my aim. Maybe that thing might not have been a a distant outcome. Like, you know, some people, it's a career aim, a career goal. They might go to college, then they might go to university. They're shooting after some sort of a career goal. For some people, it's just generally trying to get through the day. Some people don't have a long time goal. They just have, okay, I'm trying to survive today. Because some people have some situations where their environment is really torn up. And tomorrow, the week after, and the year later is way too long for them to even think about. Today isn't necessary. But the one thing that is the same for all these type of people is the fact that the aim that they have is based on their will. It's based on their will. Now, I want to talk about the will a little bit today, but also in this scripture, what I want us to look at is just a process that every individual goes through when it comes to the call of God on their life. The call of God on their life. Because how many people know that when you are a person who has been called and find yourself in the ministry of Victory Outreach, that you do not find yourself called to a regular lifestyle? You don't find yourself called to a regular lifestyle. When you are called and you find yourself placed in Victory Outreach, you will find yourself called to a great call. Called to a great call. Why is that? Because we have a calling on our ministry to go out and inherit the nations for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. So when you get involved in that type of a call, there's no way that you can go on with a standard lifestyle. There is going to be some sort of change that has to take place. Now, you see, the first thing that we get from this scripture, when I was really observing it, is the call of God when it comes to your life, there's generally the initial, what I call, teething issue. The teething issue. What is the teething issue? The teething issue is what's found in verse 20. Now, even though it's in verse 20, so it's a little further on in the actual chapter, but I believe it's something that was very prominent from the start, but was only revealed by what he said a little bit later on. And this is what he said in verse 20. He said, "The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?'" So basically, this man had come to Jesus. He said, "Look, what does it take for me to inherit everlasting life?" And Jesus took him on a journey through explaining the commandments that he should keep. And then the young man said, "Well, listen, I've done those things. I've done that. What do I still lack? What do I lack? I've done what you asked, and now I'm ready. What do I lack?" And God said, "Listen, this is what you need to do. Take what you got, give it away, and then come follow me." And at that point, the man was severely challenged. You see, I want to talk about his attitude a little bit. His attitude. You see, one thing that I come to recognize when people first come to Christ, the teething issue that they have is a prideful attitude. Now, this pride that I'm going to talk about, it can go in both directions. It's not just a pride like this man had where he says, "Look, I've done what it takes." It's also a pride in the other direction that says, "I'm not worthy of what you're offering." You see, the teething issue that people initially have is the pride thing. This man had said, "Look, listen, I've done what it takes." There's some people, how many people do you know that you speak to and they say, "You know what? I'm all good. I give to the poor. I give a little money to the charities." Do you know what I mean? I'm not out robbing people. Do you know what I mean? I don't swear all the time. Come on now. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm all right. I'm a cool person. People get on with me. I'm not what you would probably label as sin. I don't see why, if I die, I should go to hell. They don't understand that. This is one of the initial teething issues. And the problem with that mindset is when the person gets to the point where they say, "You know what, I do surrender to Christ," they can carry that mindset over into their Christianity. They can carry that mindset over where they feel like, you know what? Now I've just put a cherry on top because you know what? Now I'm saved. I was good before. I was great. I had it all banging. You couldn't really measure up to the way I was living, but now I'm saved. So I'm the cherry now. So you can't tell me nothing. Matter of fact, you get some people who don't necessarily take that over from the world, but they inherit it once they get saved. Some people inherit that mindset later on. Sometimes they've read a little bit of scripture now, had a little bit of teaching, a little bit of training, come alongside a few leaders, and now they feel like they're the bee's knees. Now they feel like they're above reproach. But I want to tell you something, that mindset is not at all in line with the Word of God. The second teething issue that people have is that, The second teething issue that people have is the prideful mindset where they say, what Jesus has offered on the cross is not good enough for me. That's on the other side of the pendulum. The other one felt like they was way too holy for the cross, and the other person feels like they're way too unworthy for the cross. And the problem with this mindset is this, is that once the person does offer themselves up and say, you know what, I take the sacrifice of the cross and I lay my life down, this person is generally the type of person that will find themselves struggling to step into the calling. They will struggle to step into the calling because the calling that is upon their life will seem way too great, it will seem way too undeserving, and it will seem like they just don't have what it takes to attain what it is that they're called to. You see, that is why the enemy really targets people when they're in the world to try and knock their self-confidence. He tries to take away your self-value, tries to take away your self-image. Tries to make people think to themselves that, you know what, I'm nothing, I'm not able. And then when people are saved and they come over to the kingdom, they're unresponsive. They're not really active. They're not really making a move for God in the kingdom because they're too busy looking at self. These are the teething issues. You see, if you do get to the point where you overcome the teething issues and you say, you know what, okay, I come to recognize that I don't have it all cracking. I've come to recognize that, you know, there is a little bit more going on than I thought was initially going on. Or you might say to yourself, you know what? I come to recognize that the cross is good enough for me. I understand that the power of what Jesus did is good enough to save my sins, and now I'm in. That person is now saved. That person has now given themselves to God. But then the challenge that they're going to experience is when it comes down to knowing the cost. The cost of being a disciple. The teething issue is out the way, and now it's time to find out the cost of being a disciple. In Matthew 19, verse 21, this is what it says. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. You see, I want to let you know that the call of God that he has upon your life is going to cost you something. It's going to cost each and every one of you something. I want to read two parts of Genesis because when I talk about the call on somebody's life, one of the main characters who comes into mind for me is Abraham. Abraham. You see, when people think about Abraham, people always talk about the faith. Maybe Abraham had great faith. Yes, Abraham had great faith, but Abraham had to pay a very big price. He had to pay a very big price to be the figure that he was in the history of our word. You see, in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 2, it says this. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Gang, I want to let you know that God wants to make you a great nation. He wants to bless you. He wants to make your name great, and he wants to shower you with blessing. You see, the thing is, when you really look at this call that came out to Abraham, is when you really study it, you have to consider the type of man that Abraham was. You see, years back, I had a situation in my life where I decided to go and live in London for a year. And when I went to live in London for a year, there's a few London, is any London peeps in the house who want to make a little noise? I see them all getting started. Yeah. London in the building. I went to live there for a year. Now, when I went to live in London, for me, it wasn't a big thing. I just went out there and I was living in London for a year. I was doing my thing. But when I spoke to some people about it, they were saying, wow, like, how did you just like uproot your whole livelihood like that? How did you just uproot, go over there and just live that? Like, that's just crazy to me. I don't know how you did it, because that's generally the character that I am. It's cool with me. I think God designed me for taking nations for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. I just have that about me. It's not a problem. Put me in another city and I will get it cracking. It ain't no thing. But anyway, back to the point. Abraham. When we look into the character of Abraham now, I infer that when God spoke to Abraham and told him to be obedient and to leave his family, I don't believe that this was an easy task. You see, the Bible doesn't go into great detail about the challenge and the wrestle that Abraham had in his heart and in his mind when he was asked to do it. It doesn't go into that. But the reason why I can infer that is because later on, you come to recognize that in Genesis 14:14-16, you see a little bit about the character of Abraham. This is what it says. Now, when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his house, in his own household, and went into pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. You see, there was a little bit of a situation later on that took place with Abraham's nephew, Lot. Now, Lot was captured by the enemy, and Abraham did not waste no time to get it cracking and go and get Lot out. He wasn't playing games. He went back to his house, rounded up his soldiers. These were servants. Like, it even say like they was like trained soldiers. They were trained servants. And he was like, look, listen, grab what you can. Get two kitchen knives. Look, go and get yourself a spade. We're going out. My family has been captured, and I don't play that. I'm Abraham. You feel me? Abraham don't play that. And Abraham went out straight up on the attack, started rolling like he was a general. Like, listen, by night, you guys are going out. By day, you guys are going out. We're taking this ground. No one ain't ramping with my family. Taking back what was his. Why was that? Because that was the nature of Abraham. Abraham was somebody who had a heart for his family. He was passionate. And you saw that passion with the response that he took. The situation that he stepped into, that was a life and death thing. Abraham could have got his head taken off. We're talking real soldiers. Abraham's coming out there with his kitchen knives. These guys have got real blades. You feel me? But the grace of God was on Abraham's life. And because of that, it was successful. But the reason why I bring this up, because I want you to come to understand the cost. You see, when Abraham had the calling and God told him to go, there must have been a wrestle inside of it. I believe that Abraham was a man that he must have liked his home comforts. He must have liked being connected with his family. He was a person who was a family-orientated person. And God said, look, listen, leave that behind and go. I have something for you. I have something that I want to do. And I want to let you guys know that, listen, the call that God has upon your life is going to cost you something. You see, great things do not come easy. Great things do not come easy. If you want to have a high impact for God in your generation, get ready to feel a little bit of sacrifice. That's that word right there, sacrifice. If you want to be somebody who wants to live with it being easy, come on now. If you want to be somebody who lives and you just settled in it and it's okay, I ain't seen one person in God's word who has done great things and had high impact in their generation that did not have to pay the price. There isn't one. Show me one person who did not have to pay a price. I can't think of one person who didn't have to pay a price. So therefore, if I'm a person who sincerely says, I want to make an impact in my generation, then I've got to be willing to pay a price. You see, as young people, sometimes we don't want to pay the price. Sometimes we don't want to lay it down. When it starts to get difficult, we want to start to retract. We want to pull back. Sometimes we come with excuses. You see, you got to understand something about this scripture. When you really check what it was that Jesus has said to this rich young ruler, sometimes people get twisted and they think to themselves that it was some sort of code for salvation. Like, give away all your stuff and then you will have everlasting life. Well, he just said life, actually. He said eternal life, but when Jesus responded, he just said life. But I would challenge that, because if you think about Nicodemus, for example, in the book of John, when Nicodemus came to speak to Jesus, searching out about salvation, Jesus responded to Nicodemus that he had to be born again. Why did Jesus respond differently to these different people? The reason why Jesus responded the way he did is because Jesus is going to deal with you in your personal place. You see, your process that God has got you in, God has got you right where he wants you. Nothing happens by chance. You think the challenges in your life just happened. The challenges in your life didn't just happen. God has positioned you right where he wants you to be. You see, with Nicodemus, he had a mindset that he could do works to get saved. He was coming with the law. That was his mindset. And then God just addressed that one time and said, listen, there has to be a rebirth. You can't do works and inherit the kingdom. There has to be a rebirth. So he's thinking, a rebirth? Okay, I can work this out. All right, so that means I climb back it? No. How? It's going to take a miracle, Nicodemus. You're going to need me to do me. He addressed his mindset that doesn't work. But in this situation, it was a different thing. He wasn't saying to the rich young ruler, you have to be reborn. That's what he was saying this time. He said, look, listen, I'm going to address you where I see your heart issue. I'm going to address you where I see your heart issue. You see, when it comes down to serving me and being obedient, oh, I see that you are. In fact, In two of the other Gospels, it talks about how he came with kind of like an expectancy and a hunger. So this kid was trying to make it happen. He was trying to do it. He was like, look, I've done all these things. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to go. Oh, okay. Oh, you ready? Let me show you your heart. Let me tell you something. You see, when God is ready to address your heart, you're going to see some stuff that you didn't even know existed. You're going to see some stuff that you didn't even know. You're going to look at yourself like, is this me? Is this me? Do you want me to tell you how I know that? Because, number one, I've been through it. Number one, I go through it. But when he came to Jesus, he came with a boldness like he was the man. He came up there like, yeah, I've done that. Show me the way. And then Jesus said, all right, let me address what you don't see. You see all those goods? Go and sell them. Go and sell them. You see, God wants to address the idols in your life. God wants to address the idols in your life. You see, we look at the Old Testament, and we can understand when he say the people was bowing down to idols. And sometimes we struggle to translate that over into the New Testament when God is dealing with and addressing our personal idols. You see, with Nicodemus, he held on to the law. That was his idol. He served that. That's what gave him a foundation. But with the rich young ruler, it was his riches and his possessions. His possessions. You see, if we're going to answer the call on our lives, we have to be a young people who are willing to go the 9 yards. We got to be willing to lay it all down. You see that sacred thing that God is addressing in your heart? You see that secret sin that nobody sees? You see that thing that you've been wrestling with? God wants to address that. You see, there's no point playing on the front, acting like everything's cool, when really, in the back, there's things that you're going through. There's no point playing that. Because that is exactly what Jesus did, is he addressed and he pulled the cover off. He said, don't come up to this place playing holy. Don't play holy with me, young boy. I know what's going on. Because you can imagine with this young boy, like, he did well. The stuff that Jesus was addressing in regards to the law, and he was saying, I kept those. So you could even imagine that before the people, he was looking like he was the one doing it. This guy is the next guy, like, this guy is the guy. But then Jesus said, well, let's look at the heart condition. Let's look at the heart condition. You see, if we're going to be a young people that are going to have an impact in our generation, if we're going to have a high impact, then we need to be ready to change our attitudes. We need to be able to change our attitudes and our mindsets. How many times do we hear the word of God and it pierces and challenges a certain way of thinking? And it pierces and challenges a certain way of acting? How many times do we experience that? But we can experience the words of God piercing and challenging the way you act and the way you think. But then you can just easily turn around, say praise the Lord, go back out there and act the exact same way. But why has God spoken in the first place? Why has God said that? God said that because he wants to take you into a deeper relationship with him. He wants to take you into a deeper, intimate relationship with him. You see, the thing, when God starts to see a certain level of obedience, When God starts to see, praise the Lord, a certain level of sacrifice, when God starts to see that, then God can take you into deeper waters. Into deeper waters. How can God hand to you the things that he has for you that are in deeper waters if you can't even step into the shallow water? If you don't have the faith to step into the shallow water, if you don't have the obedience to step into the shallow water, then there's no way he's going to be able to give you what he has for you in the deeper water, because you won't last. You see, it takes faith to stand in the depths of the ocean. It takes faith to stand in the depths of the ocean. God wants to lead you into a place that when you stand up, it requires faith alone. By the seashore, it don't require great faith. It just requires obedience. Come and step in. It's a little bit cold. I don't want to. I don't like cold water, me personally. But God will deal with you in that place. Will you be obedient? Will you step in? There's too many people who are complaining about the coldness of the water. Shallow things. When God's saying, I need you to get over the shallow things so that I can bring you into the deep, because I have deep things for you. You see, in the deep waters, that's where God showers down the blessing. Because the calling that God has upon your life is not a shallow calling. It's a deep calling. Because God's anointed now generation, we are called to impact nations for the honor and glory of Jesus. You see, the impact that God's anointed now generation Manchester has had is grown. It's grown. It's having a bigger impact. But I tell you this, I'm not satisfied with where we're at. I'm not satisfied with where we're at. Leaders like Pastor Sonny Sr. was not satisfied with where he was at. That's why when he started preaching and the power of God fell down and people got saved in LA, that wasn't good enough after a time. He said, we've got to expand. We've got to take the world for Jesus. But how are we going to take the world if we can't step into the shallow water? Matthew 19:22, it says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, what you got to come to understand about the call of God upon your life, it's only going to get deeper. God's not going to pedal backwards. He's only going to pedal forwards. And it's going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. You see, after Abraham had responded, after Abraham had went out in faith, you see, Abraham was able to see the touch of God at a level and the work of God at a level that would have astounded anybody. He actually saw his wife give birth at an age where it just shouldn't really happen. He saw her give birth where it just shouldn't really happen. Like, if it was currently today, it would have been like the nurses and the doctors and all of them would have been flocking around like, what is this? This is a miracle. This is a miracle. This shouldn't be able to happen. Like, how did you do it? Not like literally, how did you do it, but how did this happen? But check this. He had this promise of this child. He had the promise that was given to him. He had the promise that by miraculous conception, almost, that she was going to give birth. Miraculous, not immaculate. But then in Genesis 22:2-3, this is what it says. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I should tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Even after all that, even after God had taken him on such a journey, God then asked him for more. I can imagine Abraham being like, God, the faith that I've had to stand up with to see this child come to pass, and now you're asking for more. You're now actually asking me to take this one thing that I've been leaving for and just give it to you. But I get something so powerful from this, which is God doesn't want a bit of you. God wants all of you. God wants absolutely every single bit of you. He wants the very last bit of your devotion to him. You see, Abraham's faith was tested. It was tested. And you see, sometimes we receive promises from God and the things that we see around us look the opposite. But you know why? Because God is testing. He's testing. He's saying, what type of faith do you have? Do you have a faith that believes beyond? And also, you see circumstances around you tempting you and calling you to get involved in certain activities and act in certain ways that you shouldn't. That's the test right there. Are you going to be obedient? Are you going to be totally obedient to God? Or are you going to be somebody who's going to be double-minded? If I could just ask the worship team to return. If I can ask you to stand. Gang, there's going to be a cost to the call of God. It's going to cost you in your obedience. It's going to cost you having to put off things that you probably delight in doing. It's going to cost you to believe for things that with your natural mind, you're asking yourself, how is this even going to be possible? It's going to cost you all. But I tell you this. If you want to be a young people that want to have an impact, a high impact in your generation, if you want to be a young people that say, you know what? I'm not comfortable with dying and just having a regular legacy. I want to be somebody that when they look back, they say, you know what? That person served God with absolutely everything, because that's the call. That's what I want. If you're that person, then I want you to make your way to the front as the worship team begins to worship. And I want you to connect with God. And I want you to say, Lord, I want to lay it down. I want everything that you have for me. I don't want just an ordinary life. I don't want to have limitations with how much I'm willing to give you. I don't want to be a young person who is just following that person and following that person. But I want to be a young person who makes a stance in my generation and said, just like Abraham, who went by faith, just like Abraham, who said, listen, I'm ready to go, just like Abraham, who said, I am not going to be a person who sits back and sees the promises of God go away. I'm going to be that person. This is a time to connect. This is a time to connect with your Father right now. If you're a person who's been given half, if you're a person who's been straddling the fence, if you're a person who's been on the top acting like you're really serving, but deep down you know that you're not giving him your all. If you're in that place, this is your time. If you're a person that says, Lord, right now I wanna lay it down. I'm all the way in. If that's you, then this is a time to connect with God. This is a time to lay it down and to give everything. Because God wants to touch your life in such a way.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.